The message this morning is on, I believe you ought to keep your word. I believe you ought to tell the truth, and I believe you ought to keep your promises. Because God tells the truth, and He keeps His promises, and He would have us to do the same. This week, my family and I were out near the airport, and while we were there, two little boys said, "I'm hungry." You know, they're always hungry when they're near their favorite restaurant. Wouldn't matter if they'd just eaten. They're hungry. Well, I had already had in mind that we would stop at that special restaurant that has the letter M out front, because they like it there. But I didn't tell them that. And so I said, "Oh, we're not going to eat here. Let's go home." And so as we're going home, we got closer and closer to the restaurant with the big M on the front. We weren't, maybe 3 or 4 blocks from it. They couldn't see the sign. "I'm very hungry." "Why don't we go to that restaurant?" And I said, "Well, you know, that's a good idea. Why don't we do that?" Now, I hadn't told them we were going to do that. I hadn't promised it. It hadn't been in our plans. It's just spur of the moment. They suggested it. I agreed. So we drove to the restaurant. And as we turned into the parking lot, we noticed that the area where we always sit, where there's no smoking and where there are kids, and where there's a little playground, was full because there was a birthday party going on. And I had to say, "Well, we're not going to be able to go inside and sit down. So we have 2 choices. We can buy the food here and take it home and eat it, or sit in the car and eat it. Or we can just go home." Oh, you'd have thought I had promised them eternal life and then taken it back. They were so upset. Of course, I was upset too, because what I thought was going to be a pleasant surprise ended up to be a crying fit in the back seat. We did go later, the next day. Okay, just so you know how the story ended. But I hadn't made the promise. It was just something that I thought we should do, and it just didn't work, and everybody got upset. How often do we make commitments and we don't keep our commitments? In the book of Numbers, please, we'll start with the idea that you really ought to keep your word. The book of Numbers in chapter 30. Numbers chapter 30, beginning in verse 1. "And Moses spoke unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord has suggested." No. "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." And so a man's vow must be kept. Verse 3. "If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. The Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her." And so the woman who's living at home can have her vows annulled by her father. Now these are, of course, vows to the Lord. But if her father doesn't annul her vows, then her vows stand, and the woman must keep her word. Verse 6. And if she had at all a husband when she vowed, or uttered anything of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips wherewith she bound her soul of none effect. The Lord shall forgive her. So like the young lady who is living in her father's house, the woman who is married has an authority over her, and if that authority knows of her vow and annuls it, then that vow is therewith annulled. But if that authority allows the vow, then the vow must be kept. Verse 9. But every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband hath utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatever proceeds out of her mouth concerning her vows or concerning her bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he establishes all her vows or all her bonds which are upon her. He confirms them, because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. Silence shows consent. Maybe you know that phrase. Well, there it is. Silence shows consent. He heard her vow, and he didn't say anything, so it means he approved of it. But if he shall in any ways make them void after that he's heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. So, the general principle is, and there's a whole chapter there, that you should keep your word, unless you are prevented by some higher authority. It doesn't say anything about older brothers, but what if there is no father? And what if there is no husband? Who is the head of the house? Is a young girl then free to do whatever she wants to? I don't know. I think the authority passes down from father to older son. So if the father dies and leaves mother and children, the older brother kind of takes over. Deuteronomy chapter 23, if you would please. Deuteronomy and chapter 23. The first principle is you should keep your word. And remember, these are religious vows. Promises that you've made to God. Deuteronomy chapter 23, and we'll begin in verse 21. Deuteronomy 23, 21. And when you shall vow a vow unto the Lord your God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. You don't have to make any promises to God. It's not a sin not to make promises to God. But if you make a promise to God, then you're expected to keep that promise. Well, Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'll go to church every day the rest of my life. And the Lord gets you out of that mess and you forget about your promise. You need to be careful what you say to God, because He holds you to it. Similarly, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, there's a section on the keeping of vows. Ecclesiastes and chapter 5, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Keep your foot when you go to the house of God. Watch your step. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. What's the sacrifice of a fool? Saying something foolish. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with your mouth. Let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and you upon earth, therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Find a person who talks a lot. When you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you have vowed. It's better that you shouldn't vow than that you should vow and not pay. Don't allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say before the angel, it was a mistake, it was an error. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. You don't have to make any promises to God, but if you do, you'd better keep them. Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus and chapter 5. Leviticus 5, verses 4 and 5. If a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatever it is that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hidden from him, when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. It shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. Wait a minute. The man makes an oath and then he becomes guilty. Why? Well, I can think of two reasons. One is he promises to do something that's evil, that's wrong, sinful. Why would anybody do that? I don't know. But he promised to do something that was wrong, and then later on found out that it was wrong. Maybe he didn't know it was wrong at the beginning. Maybe he did. But later he realizes that it was wrong. And so he has to confess that it was wrong. It was something unlawful to do. He should never have promised it. But still he's guilty. He's guilty of making a promise that he could not or should not keep. He promised to do something evil, and he should never have made that promise. Now, another possibility is that he made a promise to do something that was impossible. It would be like saying, Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'll go to church every day. That's not possible. We don't have church every day. I guess you're off the hook there. No, you're still on the hook because you made that silly promise to do something that you couldn't possibly do. And so the man is guilty because he promised to do something that was unlawful, or he was guilty because he promised to do something that was impossible. Either way, he's guilty of having made a bad promise. Don't make bad promises, because you are expected to keep your word. Psalm 15 asks this question: who goes to heaven? Psalm 15. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? Now look at verse 4. The end of the verse. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. Even if you make a promise that's going to cost you something, you're expected to keep that promise. Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'll give you $100. Well, for some of us, that might be an impossibility. So you're guilty of making a bad promise. But for others, that's a promise that should be kept. It might take a while, but you need to keep it. And so you're expected to keep your promises. I think that is pretty plain from the Scriptures. Christians should keep their word. Another thing that Christians should be known for is that they speak the truth. When they promise that it's the truth, then it better be the truth. Hebrews chapter 6, if you would please. Hebrews and chapter 6. Hebrews 6 will begin in verse 11. Hebrews 6, 11. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What promises? The promises that God has made. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, God swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, God confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Have you ever been called to court? Have you ever been called to give a legal disposition? Deposition, not disposition, deposition. Have you ever had to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I've had that a couple of times. In American courts, they used to make you put one hand on a Bible, raise your other hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Ooh, that was scary.
You mean if I don't tell the truth, God's going to strike me dead?
Well, you would have every right to. But what if I don't put my hand on the Bible? God can still have every right to strike you dead for lying. So we don't do that so much anymore. We just say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? We end it there. See, we kind of leave God out of our lives now. Before, we used to ask God to look down and put his seal of approval on them. Now we just tell them. When I was a kid, if you were in a heated discussion with somebody and they didn't believe you, like you'd say, Mom said it's time to come home, you got to quit playing. You sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Cross your heart and hope to die? You never did that? You never did a cross your heart and hope to die thing? See, that was because you swore that what you're saying was the truth. And you swore and called the witness the God who kills people. Or gives them life. Yeah, this is the truth. Or you might say, honest to God. People used to say that too. Honest to God. Well, shouldn't you be honest to other people too? Is God the only person you're honest to? Yeah. So, we are expected to tell the truth. And when we want to confirm that it's the truth, just, you know, to emphasize it, men swear by something greater than themselves. God couldn't swear by anything greater than himself, because there isn't anything greater than God. So he swore by himself. And that's why it says, surely blessing, I will bless you and multiply. This is the truth. Well, if you turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, you'll see that that's basically how we ought to speak too. Matthew, chapter 5. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking about telling the truth. Matthew 5. Beginning in verse 33. Again, you've heard that it has been said by them of old time, you shall not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord your oaths. Well, we certainly did read that in the books of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. So Jesus is confirming the Old Testament principle that you should keep your promises. But I say unto you, wait a minute. Is Jesus saying that those things don't apply anymore? Not at all. Because earlier he had talked about what the Old Testament says concerning murder and said that murder is not only taking somebody's physical life, but also by abusing them with words. You can kill people with words. And he was talking about adultery, and he said adultery is more than just physical sex, but it's also lusting from your heart with your eyes. And so now he's talking about telling the truth, and he's telling us that keeping your word is more than just the simplicity of doing what you said you would do. He says, I say to you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you can't make one hair black or white. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever is more than these comes of evil. So there's the big bad wolf. And he's going after the three little pigs. And you know these pigs have built houses. And one of them builds a house of straw. And the wolf knocks at the door and says, let me in, let me in. And what does the pig answer? Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Now what does that mean? Well, I have hair on my chin, but I
keep cutting it so you don't see it very often. I've had it for a long time. Why does the little pig say, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin? Because he's taking an oath. The wolf says, let me in. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. In those gangster movies, okay, when one of the gangsters is giving a testimony and another gangster says, is that the truth? The gangster says, I swear on my mother's grave. Because the mother is certainly something bigger than him, bigger than he is. And so he swears on his mother's grave. And so he calls the witness. I've also heard it said, my grandmother's eyeballs. I don't know what that one means either. Men swear to tell the truth and they call to witness something greater than themselves. And Jesus said, don't do it. The little pig said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Jesus said, don't swear by your head. How does that confirm the truth? You can't make your hair black or white. Well, actually, with hair coloring, you can do that now. Maybe you and I should try some of that. You know, we'd look much younger. We have baby faces. Just
I keep it quiet.
We're young men with old hair, that's all. We should tell the truth. We shouldn't have to say, cross my heart and hope to die. We shouldn't have to say, honest to God. We shouldn't have to say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and the truth. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, not on my mother's grave. Jesus said some people would swear by the temple. Can you imagine? As though calling the temple to witness is going to make your lie become a truth. Some people call heaven to witness. Jesus said, speak the truth. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. And have that as part of your life all the time so that people don't have to question, now is this true or not? I must confess that I often kid people. But you have to be careful with that because if you have a reputation for speaking the truth at least 50% of the time, then when you tell a joke, people wonder if it's true or not. We have to be careful. One last verse. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. You'll recognize this as a listing of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. If you call God to be a witness to what you're saying, you'd better make sure you're telling the truth. Because if you call God to witness and you swear that it's true, but it's a lie, God will not hold you guiltless. When you first got saved, did you not say, Lord, if you'll save me, if you'll forgive me of all of my sins, I'll follow you anywhere you want me to go. I'll say anything you want me to say. I'll do anything you want me to do. Did you not make that promise to God when you first got saved? I've never known a Christian who didn't make that promise. But I've known some who haven't kept it. Our responsibility is that if we make a vow to God, we should keep it. God doesn't lie. God doesn't break His promises. And if God is in us, we don't lie, and we don't break our promises either. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth as it's revealed in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for always being honest to us. May we be honest with you and with each other. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.